Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
My favorite was, don't pay attention to the positive comments.
An absolutely chaotic Scottish Cup semi-final against Aberdeen. That's what we're talking about on this week's episode of 20 Minute Tims. Listen, before we get into the podcast for real, there are six games left of this season. Next season is our 10th season covering Celtic for 20 Minute Tims. And we want you to support us on Patreon at any level you want. For the next six games, we're going to be there for the wrap-up of the season and the Scottish Cup final every step of the way. Give it a bash, and if you like it, hang about for our 10th year next season. Thank you so much. Patreon.com/20MinuteTims. The link is in every bio, every place you're listening and watching this, you can find it. Stephen.
Oh, the drama. Nelly. Goodness me.
Oh. That had everything.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, apart from a couple of sendings off,
yeah,
the cup semi-final had everything. There's so much to talk about, so much to unpack, as people are so fond of, are so fond of saying now. But mostly, Melly, I'm just glad we made it through.
Yeah, it would have been so harsh to get to the end and not go through there. But well, I did have everything, but glad Celtic got through in the end. But the one good thing to come out of this is, apart from me still being alive, is Celtic are in the final. But most importantly, it gives us that timely reminder. This league is by nowhere near done and dusted. That's a team that haven't made it into the top six, that scored three goals against us. Celtic again conceded late goals. So I think it's that timely reminder that we cannot take the foot off the gas. In fact, we cannot put in performances like that again, or these bad halves that we have.
An absolute classic of a semi-final, really, if you're watching as a neutral, which none of us are, unfortunately. How did you enjoy it if you are a neutral? Because we simply can't judge. But On the surface of things, on paper, that is an absolute, it's a barn burner. Barns were burned up and down the country watching that game. But what drama it was. Every time you thought Celtic were out there, were home and dry, something else would happen. Losing late goals twice.
Aye. Losing, we really need to give it a bash.
Lost
a bye,
two very late goals and one extremely early goal as well. It had absolutely everything.
And the early goal didn't trouble me so much, Melly, because you always think Celtic are going to get themselves back into the game. And when we watched the game back before we did the podcast, you're trying to analyse, like, when the goal goes in, immediately we're like, right, whose fault's that? You're all looking for bits and bobs or people to blame or things that went wrong in the build-up to it. But part of me just thinks that first goal, that was just a great pass, and we know Miofsky's dangerous, just a good finish.
He's good. He's a very good finisher, and I think he's got that in his locker. And I think, when you look at it, you're always thinking, right, Cameron Carter-Vickers got caught in behind, but I think it's a great ball and a good run for him to run on. That's not me just shielding Cameron Carter-Vickers from the blame there, but I think Aberdeen got off to a decent start there, but after that, they probably could have pushed on a wee bit. I never ever felt that they were going to go 2-0 up. I never felt that. It just felt like a matter of time before Celtic get back into the game, and then into the second half, Celtic got a wee bit better, but they're still... I remember the first half, and even when Celtic get the goal back, it's from an Aberdeen mistake. We weren't creating clear-cut chances and were poor out wide, and then in the midfield three, couldn't really get a hold of the ball. And Rio Hatate seemed to be having one of those games where he's not got the influence on it. But Celtic got themselves back into it, got themselves ahead, and you think, right, that should be it. Press on now. But it just didn't fall that way.
An Aberdeen mistake, yes, granted. But what I would say is that it's a forced error, isn't it? It's Kyogo doing what he does. It's Kyogo doing what his job is up there. It's to put the defence under pressure. I know it's only two, but it doesn't seem like a coincidence to me that we've got two goals out of that. Not directly, but obviously the Tavernier thing from a couple of weeks ago, that was Dyson forcing him into an error. Yeah. That went directly in the net. This time it didn't. Kyogo kind of wasted the chance a wee bit and couldn't follow it up. But it is something that Celtic are getting. It's from forcing the other team.
There's no dispute about that for me. I mean, that is a clear Celtic tactic to put the defence under pressure using the forwards and for that exact reason.
Yeah, and that was fairly clear. Yeah, the guy dithered on the ball, but that's because Kyogo just doesn't give you a second's piece out there. And he probably felt comfortable until Kyogo just sort of toes the ball off away from his feet and all of a sudden he's fallen over. So yeah, it was definitely a mistake. A let off for Celtic to get back into the game. Not immediately. I think there was maybe about 17 or 18 minutes in between the goals there, but it was good to get back on level terms before it got too far away, because you know what Celtic are like in different halves, and we had three of them. We had three halves in that game.
Yeah.
Four halves.
I was about to say, do you have three halves?
I counted the extra time as one half there.
It is a theme that's been plaguing Celtic all season though, Melly, isn't it? Losing these late goals. The Chargers have been a 45 minute team, and we saw it in Europe, we saw it against Rangers, we saw it there, we've seen it plenty of times this season as well. We just sort of seem to think the game's won, we switch off, we start to look very leggy as well, I think.
Yeah, it's one thing that I'd probably be very disappointed in Celtic this season. I think when Brendan Rodgers was here at first, Celtic managed games very well, didn't they? They seen them out, but in this game, again, we didn't really see it out properly, conceding a goal late on. And I think if you tot it up, if we take conceding goals after 88 minutes, Celtic have dropped 7 points this season from that, and they've went to extra time in a semi-final and then went on to penalties with
that's
it.
After 88 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. Jeez. The Kilmarnock one was the one they lost 2-1 at Rugby Park. I think that was 87-88, but the rest of the games they've dropped 2 points in by winning games and then letting in late goals. So Celtic could be pretty much home and hosed in the league if they could see out games. But there was a moment in the match in the second half that probably summed that up for me. Was Tomoki Iwata came on and made this run into the Aberdeen box. And immediately after it, Brendan Rodgers was screaming over to him, doing his mad whistles. And Greg Taylor, I think it was, behind him, had to point to him and point to the dugout. Brendan Rodgers was just pointing over like stay. Tell him just to stay in the middle so he didn't move from it. I think Celtic have had a lot of that this season's guys coming on the pitch being told to do a job and simply not doing it. Mikey Johnston springs to mind with Burnaby guys coming on and just causing absolute anarchy for Celtic. I think it's something that we need to get better at, and I don't know if is it simply getting better players, because a lot of the time this season us bringing on substitutes has severely weakened the team. And if Iwata's going on and being told to do something specifically and not doing it, the manager's just told him, as soon as he breaks away, the manager's telling him again, sit in there and just be that position for Celtic. So I think that's something Celtic will need to look at in the summer, whether it's getting these squad players out that aren't going to be able to do the job, because losing that amount of goals, it's really unacceptable for a Celtic team. That's a lot of those games are at Celtic Park and we've dropped points in. Simple games, Motherwell, Kilmarnock, late goals that have cost us. Celtic can score them because they keep going to the end, but to concede that many this season isn't acceptable.
I mean, that's the other side of the coin, isn't it, Stephen? You know, listeners and watchers might be saying, we're conceding all these late goals, but at the same time, we're never truly beaten. Celtic looked beaten in any of these games, apart from the ones they lost.
Apart from all the points we've just mentioned that we've dropped in, what I would fight back against is the idea that Celtic get into a certain lead and then think the game's won and they lose from there. That is a pattern and that has happened a number of times, but it's so strange, it's so unpredictable that sometimes Celtic are better in the second half. That's happened a lot of times this season as well. We've been terrible in the first half and came out and played better in the second half. Remember, there was the game a good while ago now, but Brendan Rodgers said it was the angriest they'd ever been in his managerial career against St Johnstone. That was a first half performance. That wasn't playing really well in the first half and then letting it all fall apart in the second half.
That was before the Hearts game, though, wasn't it?
Was it the Arsenal game? Yeah, it was before it.
So, I wonder how angry he was at the Hearts. Yes. Remember a couple of weeks ago I said that was the angriest I've ever been? Yeah. Well, today, now is the angrier.
So, yeah, St John's, it wasn't a high water mark for long, was it, of his anger?
But yeah, So
I do get this idea. It has followed Celtic around a lot this season. We've acknowledged it as well, that they can't really keep up a 90-minute performance. Now, what that means, I'm not really sure. Is it possible to play well for 90 whole minutes without any mistakes being in there? Maybe not, but I do get what people are driving at with that. What I would say, though, is that all it points to for me is that this Celtic team is fundamentally flawed in a lot of ways, and that's why we're in the position we are in the league.
For me, it is personnel as well, though, because if you look at, say, for instance, the Rangers game, Yang, he comes in and he causes fucking anarchy, as he calls it. And this game, Palmer comes on, gives the ball away, and then that led to the second Aberdeen goal. But you're trying to look and go, okay, so what causes Celtic's downfall here? And a lot of the times it's just moments of quality in the other team and Liam Scales. Because, I mean, you don't want it, like, I say this almost every, you don't want to hammer the guy, right? Liam Scales is all the players ever going to be for Celtic. You've got a pretty good idea of what he's going to offer. That was near a classic, or it'll probably be a game that Liam Scales wants to forget. But at the same time, the two crosses from Junior Hoylett were brilliant.
They were. I have to admit that watching it back, I did think Celtic have possibly just been undone by two absolutely brilliant crosses there. They are both into Liam Scales' area, and I don't think he covers himself in glory. But would I point to them as defensive howlers? Probably not, to be honest. He could have been maybe positionally better. It has been a recurring theme this season where Celtic defenders, I mean, excluding Cameron Carter-Vickers, of course, we don't really know what to do if the ball is kind of played in behind. That seems to happen quite a lot. And with that, those two crosses, one outswinging, one inswinging. So it had one with his left foot and one with his right foot that swung in the way. Both of them went in between the defensive line, I'll get to that in a second, and the goalkeeper. And I don't think anyone really know how to deal with it. Yes, they were both over Liam Scales' head, and he probably could have done better. His awareness isn't great, but I wouldn't point to them both and say that's an absolute defensive clanger. I think that's maybe just excessive, but I do apply the tax here that I have said, been fairly vocal about Liam Scales' limitations, but he's the best we've got currently, to be honest. I don't really see any cause to be playing the Vrotsky now. I've just not seen enough from him.
No, you can't possibly. I mean, I think I might have said this recently in another podcast or even on the flagship. It's borderline ridiculous now to just suggest that Navrotsky should start games ahead of Liam Scales. Okay, he starts one and then Liam Scales is back in. That shouldn't really surprise you now, because Scales has been Brendan Rodgers' boy since he walked in the door, and, you know, Navrotsky.
I'm sure Brendan Rodgers wouldn't like to be in this position as well. But
No, you're right. It is by default. Yeah, you're right. But what I would say is, if there was much in it, he'd be playing Navrotsky because he wants to win these games.
Oh, yeah.
So I think by now, Melly, we can just accept, for all intents and purposes, Navrotsky's probably a bit of a flop.
But by just to finish off that thing I said about the defensive line and where Liam Scales is to blame or not, one of the goals in particular, the defensive line is not a line, it's
Aberdeen's
a squiggle. It's the third one. Liam Scales is playing everyone onside by a considerable margin, and that's where I was going with the positional thing. He doesn't often know where he's supposed to be, and the defensive line just wasn't there. It was like a zigzag basically across the 6-yard box, and that's what let in, I can't remember who it was, Sokler at the back post who scored that header. So it's a mixed bag from Liam Scales' performance. I thought I don't directly blame him as if he's like scored OGs or passed some or did with the Aberdeen defender, what we've just spoken about there. He didn't do that, but I just don't think positionally he's very aware.
No, it's one of those ones where I can't just completely pinpoint it on him, but Celtic are losing a lot of goals in that left-hand side of the defence. And for me, I think if Carl Starfelt's there, Celtic don't concede either of those goals just because he's a better player and he's more aware. I think with Liam Scales, it's all sort of last ditch with him, whereas Starfelt was more positionally better and better in the air. But
Nat Phillips was going to fix this. A monster in the air, wasn't he?
I still cannot figure out. It doesn't work in my brain that was this season as well. It seems like a long winter ago or something he was playing. And I think the Liam Scales, it wasn't even the two late goals that were conceded. It was on the ball. Yes. Like, the crowd are just pretty much done with him. You can feel it when you're in the stadium, and when he does one of those, there was one where he walks out with it and then just passed straight to the Aberdeen player.
Surely this must be manager stuff. This must be tactical stuff. I'm beginning to wonder if, and it's the same with Yang, I just wonder if Brendan Rodgers has got that. He's like, the more I believe in this guy, the better he's going to be. If I show him I've got 100% trust and faith in him, he'll come good. Or I've got no choice but to have 100% trust and faith in him. Because, you know, sometimes when you make a bad pass when you're playing football yourself, sometimes the best thing to do is just have your teammate give you the ball again, then you can go make that bad pass. And it seems like Brendan Rodgers has been running that exact experiment with Liam Scales all season. Just go back, just get back on the horse, just give him the ball again. Because that's what I'm seeing from. It's not. The partners of play always seem to involve Liam Scales. For huge parts of this season, Liam Scales has been the main ball-playing defender. And you think to yourself, well, at this stage, the manager's asking for him to happen. And it's kind of, we'll get to Yang in a minute, but I feel it's the same with Yang when he's starting games now. The manager's trying to believe that the kid can do it. Just go out there and go, no, you failed that time, it's fine, you won't keep failing. But with Liam Scales, like you say, when the crowd get nervous when Liam Scales is on the ball, and personally I'm like, right, it's kind of having the opposite effect for me. I'm like, well, this is not an encouraging environment for the guy to play football, because as soon as he gets on the ball and you hear a collective groan from one misplaced pass, and how does he play the rest of the game with that in his mind?
It's the environment he's created, but because he's done it so often. But I understand that he's came back in after not starting the previous game. So Brendan Rodgers believes he's the best partner for Cameron Carter-Vickers. I'm happy to accept that, because from what I've seen from Navrotsky, when he has played, he's have to come off after 60 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you're going to start him, even in this game, that's a substitute down already for you. And when that game goes to extra time, Celtic could have been really struggling. So with Navrotsky, it's not going to happen for him unless one of the two defenders gets injured. So it's going to be Scales and Carter-Vickers. Scales is left-sided. He's the only left-footed centre-half in there. So it just needs to be that way, I think, now. But if he is going to play, we have to accept the deficiencies and try and work around it. But it's very difficult when, even when he's conceding goals with headers, that's the kind of thing you think, like, he's all right at that, he'll win his headers. He was getting caught under the ball for the two goals, and it's just going to need to be this way for the end of the season, because I don't see Navrotsky coming in now for the last five or six games. It's not going to happen.
He's obviously not earned it. That's the bottom line. And we do criticise Liam Scales a lot, and and I saw after this game he was getting a lot on social media, but we're winning the majority of games with Liam Scales in goal, and he might not be the perfect defender, but I'm starting to come around to people like, look, the kid's trying his heart. In a sense, he's no asking to be put in this position. He's doing his job. He's turned up to training. He's trying his arse. Brendan Rodgers is saying, right, you're my pick. You go, I know, that's not really a phrase. I was going to say trying his heart out and working his arse off, and I said trying his arse. Well, anyway, we'll skip it. I would have skipped right over that, Stephen. You not looked at me and sniggered?
I tried to hold back that little chortle that snuck out there. I tried my very, very best, but it went into the microphone.
Anyway, the kid's trying his best, right? And I can understand the people now who sort of recoil a wee bit at the sort of relentless barrage of criticism that Liam Scales gets, and now there's like a backlash against the backlash.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In terms of quality, though, Melly, did anyone really stick out for Celtic? Again, we seem to make our way through the game and we're into the final and I'm thinking, right, who really got us in that, got us through that tie? I thought Matt O'Reilly was quite good. I thought he took his goal really well. Showed a lot of composure to put the goal away. I thought Kyogo was quiet. Atati was a bit quiet. Kuhn as well wasn't the best. So in terms of quality, I'm looking at, even Carter Vickers didn't have that good a game.
No,
Joe Hart, who we're going to obviously get to, and Matt O'Reilly for me, like...
To be honest, if I was picking somebody, despite what I've said for the past 10 seasons, James Forrest was the sort of difference maker. Yang had another terrible, terrible game. James Forrest came on and instantly sort of made things happen for Celtic. And
Do you think there's a pathway back for James Forrest? There's 6 games left. Do you think we could see James Forrest return to the starting lineup? Hometown hero coming back to seal the title for him.
To be quite honest, if you were to say to me who starts on the other side to Kuhn right now, I'd probably say James Forrest. I don't know if coming on as a sub late on is making him look better because defenders are tired, but right now Yang has had enough opportunities and generally is starting to look worse with every game.
Yang is a peculiar one, isn't he, Stephen? Because he's like a guy, I know this sounds really cruel, but to me I'm watching Yang and it's almost like a guy who doesn't really get the basics of football. The amount of times, and he's kind of messing up everyone else's mojo, because I think it was in the first half, he cuts onto his right foot and then you see Kyogo move expecting a cross and then Yang goes back onto the left again. You think that's typically Yang. He beats a guy, the forwards and everyone in the more forward positions from him are then anticipating a cross come in and he goes back seemingly to beat the guy, more often than not loses it, and you think that's just kind of, and he's no 18, he's no 16, 17, 18 again, he's not got this excuse of being a really, really young player. You're going that, there's basics here that you're not really getting.
I remember hearing Alan Shearer talking about that when it was about David Ginola, about how annoyed he used to get at him because he would be making those runs and picking up space and picking up positions in the box, and that's what he did best. But Ginola would just be skinning people left and right and then turning back.
Are you comparing Yang to...
Yeah, I suppose my point is Yang is not David Ginola, but it's every bit as frustrating perhaps if you're the striker. But Yang, I've not really got anything further to add to what we've been saying about Yang for weeks now. He is not, to me at least, and I said it last week, I said, look, the reason I'm not willing to go in too hard on Yang at the moment is because Brendan Rodgers clearly sees that he's worth a start here. I find that very unusual because I don't see it. I don't really see what it is he's offering. But when you compare him to the likes of Holm and O and Lagerbielke, they've been written off immediately and they're nowhere near it. So Brendan Rodgers to date has not done that. So
Is it just the legs? Is that all that's keeping them in ahead of James Forrest? Because maybe, as Melly said, Forrest comes on and in terms of productivity, in terms of product, James Forrest is better.
Yeah, he is. By a long, long way. He's better at 32 than Yang is at 22. By a long way, yeah.
And Palmer's... Who knows what's happening with Lewis Palmer at the moment? So is it just a case of he's got legs and that's really it? And might as well throw him on as a bit of the chaos factor, as a bit, you know, he's got legs, he'll probably beat the fullback. Whether or not he can do anything else after that is a complete mystery, but we'll give him an hour and see what he can do.
Yeah, well, he's not in the project, you know, the thing we talk about so much. He's not in that category either because he's been picked for major games for Celtic ahead of people who are older than him, older and more experienced than him. So you can't really say, but he's a project because he's the youngest one. Palmer's available to play those games. I know he's just back from an injury, but he is available. He's come on in both the last couple of games. Forrest comes off the bench frequently now. But Yang's been preferred to these guys, and I don't quite know what it is.
Have we been hypocritical though a bit as Celtic fans? You know, we want to see good young players come into the team. We know how difficult it is now to go out and buy them. We know how difficult it is to keep them. Our own young players. We've got a young guy here. He's come all the way for Korea. It's his first season at Celtic. He's getting minutes. He's trying his arse. And, yes. Right? And we're like, nice crap, he can't play anymore. But how's he going to get any better?
That's not my responsibility. What about these things yet?
But it's like the same as skills. Like, okay, we've got Yang, we're winning games, we might win the league, we might win the Scottish Cup, and at the same time, we're developing players like Yang and we're improving players like Liam Scales. Are we trying to have everything here or nothing?
No, it's standards, mate. I think Carl Starfelt is a better player than him. Moritz Jens is a better player than him. Why should we settle?
This is doing nothing for your personal Liam Scales vendetta that people think you've got in the YouTube comments, because I was talking about Yang.
I know, but I'm going to go on to Yang as well. And it's the same with Yang, with Jota or better wingers we've had. Why do we just all of a sudden go from a treble winning team with good players, don't bring in adequate replacements, and go, oh, do you know what? Maybe this is.
Is that a different argument, though? Is that a different argument? You've got Yang and he's here now.
You said he doesn't have the basics.
Yes.
Why are we not signing players that have the basics? Like Lager Bielka cannot run. That's a basic.
Yeah.
Aye, but I think
Yang cannot hold on to the ball. He cannot cross the ball. He's got, what, 2 assists or something in his appearances for Celtic as a winger.
31 appearances, by the way.
Yeah, that's a lot of games to play. James Forrest came on and did more than he's done in the last 5 games for him. So there's... Is he the those best thing that we've got?
Because people will be saying this in the listen, but those are kind of 2 separate arguments a wee bit. Why are we not signing these guys is no really the argument I'm making. I agree we should be signing these guys, but my argument is we want to develop players, we want to improve young players. The only way they're going to do that is get minutes. We're putting Yang out for an hour every couple of weeks, an hour here, an hour there, big games. He's 31 appearances. This is how you improve footballers. You have to play them and they have to fail and they have to get back on the horse and they have to try again. And that is how you improve footballers. And what the question I'm asking
Celtic
is...
Celtic dropped 2 points against Rangers because of he can't do the basics.
Aye,
but
right, fuck him.
I get what you're saying, but like we are developing players, but we're developing good players. I don't think he's ever going to get to the level where he's going to start every week for Celtic. There's younger guys than him that start for Celtic every week and have the basics. Mm. So why do we need to settle for this guy? He's 22 soon. That's not going to happen for me. I think with certain players, you can see, all right, he'll come on to a game. But at 22 years old, you should be able to hold on to the ball. You should be able to have influence in the game. And he doesn't have that yet at all. And other players do. So why are we settling for this? Why are we bringing in guys with such a disparity in quality within the team? And that's what you get. You end up dropping points, you end up giving away goals at the end of matches, and Celtic are where they are right now. They had extra time there, we've dropped so many points. The game against Rangers shows Matondo inside, bang, that could be the difference between Champions League and Celtic not winning the league. So I've not got time for that.
No, it's got to be based in more than age, I think is the point here. If you're waiting for players to get better and hoping that they iron out the creases, it can't come at the cost of points, as Melly said. I know that might be eventually a little bit of sort of collateral damage when you're trying to develop players. But if you're going to make the case that we should stick with this because it might get better, we've got to see something. We've got to see something tangible on the pitch that makes you think, aye, do you know what? There's something there. Mm. But if we can just hone it, if we can just coach that, it's got to be more than just, I bet he's young, so let's just play him until he gets better.
He's got dribbling ability and pace.
Yeah,
we've got that.
There's a bit of that.
I think for me, look, I'm not necessarily, just because I'm making the argument doesn't mean necessarily I believe the argument myself.
It's a worthwhile debate, yeah.
Because I think with Yang, like I say, the basics worry me a little bit. It's in many ways, he can do the difficult stuff. He goes up, he gets the ball, pretty decent touch, beats a guy, and then he's like, what do I do with this next? And you think to yourself, well, look at old Uncle Jamesy there. He can barely beat a guy. He just makes a wee half yard of space for himself and dinks a wee cross into the back post. You think, to me, I'm watching James Forrest, I'm going, that is the simplest, that is basically essence of wing play.
Yeah, yeah.
James Forrest makes a lot of unselfish runs, or when he gets the ball, they do a wee 1-2 and a wee hung up cross to the back post. We've seen that
I love those crosses,
We've seen that James Forrest cross a million times. It's essence of wing play. can you not stick them two together for an afternoon, make them car share, get a, obviously interpreter in the middle because James Forrest can't speak English, and he can teach them all day how to hang up crosses. I agree what you're saying. It's not just a Yang experiment for the sake of it, but that to me the worry is that he does lack the basics a wee bit.
Yeah, and versus that, if we're talking about James Forrest here as well, I think this is maybe why we're seeing so little of James Forrest, because I think there's two different schools of thought here. There's one that would suggest he's playing really well when he comes on, so let's start him in games. Brendan Rodgers says he's the best winger at the club, so why wouldn't you start him? There's also the case that, look, he looks brilliant when he comes on and makes an impact in almost all of these games. Keep doing that. Yeah. You know, there's no reason to break that up if that's what's going on. Because if we look at James Forrest and we look at all the clues that we've been given, he comes on and makes these really quite impressive impacts in recent games. He was out of the squad for weeks. Yeah. Remember that? He just appeared out of nowhere and it wasn't even in squads, kind of run about just after Christmas and all that. If we look at the clues we've been given, James Forrest, what Brendan Rodgers has told us, that it's about an intensity thing. He can't really do that at his age. And it's maybe less about age and more just the sort of mileage he's sort of, you know, injuries in his younger career that have maybe just sort of caught up with him. So he lacks the intensity to play in these games from the start regularly. And then when we come on, as you've just described there, Jamie, the very essence of wing play. So we're seeing the distilled down version of James Forrest. If you take away the responsibility of him playing from the start in every game and you just give him these runouts, what you see is pure James Forrest when he's going on there for cameos here and there. We see crossing, we see retention of the ball, which I think we could have done with at Ibrox. Again, hindsight and all that, we had that argument at the time as to whether he would have been a better bet than Yang. He uses the ball a lot better. He's a lot more intelligent than your average winger when it comes to his football IQ. So what we're seeing now is the distilled down version of a 32-year-old James Forrest who can come on and make significant impact. So I don't know if I'm really inclined to change that for now. Mm. What makes me think there is a case to be starting him is that purely that the wingers ahead of him are just no delivering just now. Apart from Kuhn, Palmer carries a bit of a goal threat, but it's been a while now. I don't think he's really been...
He put up a bit of a cryptic Instagram post. Oh, really? Didn't he? Palmer just sort of saying something along the lines of... I'm not playing my best football just now for a number of reasons, but I appreciate your support and all that sort of stuff.
Right, okay.
So
right.
I don't know if there's maybe... But footballers do have a tendency to do that when they're going through a bit of a shit patch, don't they? They get a bit crybaby about it, you know?
Yeah, less Instagram, more training is what I say. Aye. We used to be a country.
So what do you think? James Forrest has got a part to play going forward? For
definitely. I think that's evident. And
how did this happen?
Yeah, I mean, look, as I said,
he was at the door this time last year.
Yeah, 100%. And even in January, I think they were looking around, basically told James Forrest, they told James Forrest they could find a new club in January, because a few people complained about that at the time, about how he might lose motivation. That clearly hasn't happened. He's a model professional at this stage of his career. Whether it's from the start or off the bench, I'm not really concerned at the moment, but he's got a huge part to play. And yeah, it's not an ideal situation to be in, to be relying on guys like James Forrest off the bench, the kind of distilled down version of James Forrest. But we have to accept the reality we're in now. And as I said earlier in this very podcast, this is a fundamentally flawed Celtic team. What the Aberdeen game showed me, and everyone else I assume, was that we are a long way away from being able to count on either of these trophies being won just now.
Yeah, that's my main takeaway for the game.
The weaknesses were laid bare there, but it's really about just getting these games won now. By hook or by crook, if it means James Forrest plays from the start, if he plays 15 minutes towards the end, I'm not really interested. Everyone just has to play their part.
Yeah, and that was pretty much my main takeaway for the game. Yeah. This league is... Nothing's in the bag because teams can still hurt you. 32 James Forrest is still doing that infuriating outside of the foot shot. Has he ever scored one of those? Maybe one or two? Terrible.
Easter Road, was it?
I can picture ones. He's had so many of them over the years, but that was a pass back, that one.
Remember the rumour that John Collins barred them from doing it?
He would have been fuming watching that.
I know, absolutely unbelievable. John Collins. Also, we did see you pull out of not a 50-50, James. It was a 70-30 in your favour, and you absolutely pulled out of it.
That's what he's saying. You get the full spectrum.
James Forrest. Absolute essence of Forrest. The penalties. When was the last time Celtic were in a penalty shootout for it? Was it Neil Lennon's?
Yeah, the Neil Lennon's treble. The treble would that have been? Yeah.
Quadruple?
Oh, quadruple treble, of course. Yes. So the one, the cup final that spilled into the following season, of course, yeah.
Conor Hazard in goal. Christopher Ayer scored the winner.
Yep.
Was that when...
Odson Edward disrespected Craig Gordon, didn't he?
Threw the ball at him. One of those overhand throws, absolutely.
You could hear him going, as they threw the ball.
I remember that. I'm glad they're only 5 years apart or whatever it is, because that's too much. I couldn't handle it. But the thing about it was, every penalty more or less was a cracker.
Yeah. Aye, they were all decent. Even two hit the post and then one, Joe Hart gets a decent save. And
I always thought you were going to talk about Joe Hart taking the penalty.
Oh, no. Like, I was pretty confident when he stepped up because of that one penalty I've seen him take for Man City in that tournament that time. But when he stepped, because it was weird, he had the chance and nobody's walking forward from the halfway line. So that wee bit of confusion, then you just see Joe lining up like, oh man, you've got the chance to be the hero. That the fact that he's taking the fifth penalty, you're looking at everybody else going, you shake bags. He's letting a goalkeeper take it. But Celtic did finish.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so Celtic finished the game with Joe Hart, five defenders, Tomoke Iwata on the pitch. Like, we could struggle here at penalties, but fair play for Joe and everybody for stepping up. By the way, it's no easy thing. And for the guys that stepped up and for Celtic struggling with penalties so much this season, it was only the goalkeeper that missed.
I know. When Joe Hart says, no, I'll take it again. I would. And I thought, do you know what? That's what you need.
He's wink afterwards as well. Yeah. He has gone on to explain that. So he winked back, a big grin on his face after he missed the penalty. Turns around to the halfway line, gives a big wink, and everyone's like, hey, you're pretty relaxed. You're pretty chipper, you know, for having just missed a penalty. But he went on to explain that it's completely different for a goalkeeper, because if you miss a penalty, you're immediately back among your teammates and everyone's consoling you and saying, it's fine, right, arms around each other. Goalkeeper can't do that because he's up now. He has to go about and go. So he was basically just turning around to the team and was like, I'm fine. It just looked a bit swaggering for a guy who just rattled a penalty off it. Goalkeepers taking penalties, it just doesn't look great at all, does it? I remember, I mean, in fairness, his penalty was much better than this, but remember David De Gea took the decisive penalty in the Europa League final a couple of years ago, and it was terrible. The worst penalty you ever see. This only hit the post, but just the look of it, it looks like, you know that meme of Big Bird walking behind Darth Vader on the Death Star? There's like whatever Imperial troops, and then there's Big Bird standing behind Darth Vader. It looks a bit like that.
I don't know that meme.
No,
I'll leave that one hanging. I don't know.
That's
that.
A famous one.
Is it? Pardon me there. you don't know your memes. I thought you were a meme lord, Jamie. Obviously not. It was an absolute. It was a bit of a shonker of a penalty. His technique was a bit all over the place.
Dragged it.
He did drag it. Boric is the only other goalkeeper, Melee, I can remember taking a penalty. Certainly if I said it in any circumstances.
Yeah, I think so. He wrapped his into the top corner. But
and then when are we doing that? Jazz hands.
Even then, you're like, did you really mean that sometimes? But it was an absolute peach. And Joe Hart stepped up, but you kind of got the feeling that because of the enormity of everything, that it was going to be Joe Hart's time to shine, the chance to extend his career by a game, by getting to a Scottish Cup final, the fact that he stepped up to take the winning penalty, then you're like, oh, he's missed it. And then he still turns out to be the hero by saving the penalty. So it just felt like it was destined to be Joe Hart's thing, and fair play to him, man, because listening to the guy, he just loves it. And I think you need guys like that to step up, even though he missed a penalty. It's like, fine, I'll do it all over again.
And we were at the Joe Hart, an evening with Joe Hart yesterday at Celtic Park. We went up to watch that, and he was just like, he's just a class act. It's such an honour to have a guy like Joe Hart at your football club, because it's kind of what football's all about. Do you know what I mean? He gets it. He came up here and he's treated the fans with absolutely nothing but respect he's given us. He's treated the club with the utmost respect. Every time the guy's opened his mouth to speak about anything, he's been an absolute professional. He's totally bought, like, every single box as a fan you can tick that a player should bring to the club, including quality, including leadership. He's just brought it all.
Yep.
The guy's been absolutely brilliant for us, and he wasn't fancied when he first arrived. And again, he had to prove himself to the Celtic fans, which is fair enough. That's part of what happens when you come to a club like this. But he didn't do it in any sort of grumbling way. He just went, okay, I'll just get on my job and we'll see. And I thought at the end of that thing last night when we were sitting in that crowd, I actually felt happy and sad for Joe Hart, because it was a room with only 500 people in it. And I thought, I'm glad Joe Hart's career's got to the point now because it probably didn't look like this for a while, where he can sit in front of a room of supporters who appreciate everything he's done in the game and everything he's done for their club, because he never got that at Man City and he never even got his testimonial and he was pissed about at Spurs and it just wasn't right. But at the same time, I was a bit sad because I thought, this is only 500 people at Celtic Park. This guy, when they're playing the videos of England and Man City and him on the pitch for the Aguero thing, I thought, this guy's absolutely done it all, man. Some of the names and coming up the screen, Micah Richards and Tim Flowers and Alex McLeish.
Yeah.
A bit of a strange one. But I just thought, he deserves much, much more than this. But it's nice to...
Well, hopefully he'll get that. Hopefully he'll get that in front of stadiums when
you ruined a joke, Stephen. I was going to say, we get to give him his Tim Flowers. Right. Doesn't matter.
Hopefully we do get a chance to thank him in person in a stadium setting when he's being very successful and walking around the pitch having won something. But yeah, the event itself, thoroughly enjoyable. And to anyone who wasn't able to make it, they've filmed it and they're going to put it on Celtic TV at the end of the season.
£900 it is.
Yeah, it's payable to us. We just get a banner on here. It was really enjoyable. And some of the words you've just used there to describe him, apt, along the lines of like leadership and, you know, class act and all that, these are all very fitting, but also those are just football words that you sometimes hear about players, and actually seeing him talking about and other people talking about him, and this is why he is so respected, this is why he's such a big deal, this is why he's had the career he's had. It was really eye-opening. And I said at the time when he announced his retirement a couple of months ago now, probably, that it was really interesting to see social media at the time, because everyone reacted to it. All the sort of English-based podcasts were reacting to it, and there was like UEFA account were posting compilations of this incredible game he'd had against Barcelona in the Champions League, all the saves and all that. And it just made me think, Joe Hart was a big deal, wasn't it? Yes. It was a really big deal. It was a big, big name. And he came here and it wasn't like the type of thing where, of course, I've signed like Freddie Ljungberg and Carlton Cole, guys who had decent careers or good to decent careers in England. But that was just a case of, here, Lenny, do you want Freddie Ljungberg? Aye, why not? I'll just take him. Here, Ronnie Dyla, do you want Carlton Cole? Well, I'm not getting anybody else. I'll take Carlton Cole. It's not that. This was deliberate. This was Ange Postecoglou picked up the phone to him and said, I've done my research. I want you at the club. And he spoke of being really nervous sitting down to dinner with Callum McGregor to Joe Hart, who's older than Callum McGregor, in many ways significantly more experienced than him, and having played at the top level and everything, he is pitching to Callum McGregor who he is as a person. He felt like he had to go and prove himself, not as a player, because that CV is there available for anyone to find out, but his concern was, I don't know how anyone thinks of me here. I don't know how anyone thinks of me as a man. And that was all really, really interesting stuff. And he's also not like these kind of cookie cutter, quite dull English footballers that, you know, they're very professional and they achieve a lot in the game. He acknowledges the fact that he hasn't always been like that.
Yeah.
It's been ups and downs for him. There have been highs and lows. A very kind of prominent chapter in his career has been rejected by Pep Guardiola. But even then, he's fairly kind of diplomatic
just
about
business.
That. Yeah, the only one
he was not too happy about was
Nuno. Because he insulted him basically. Yeah. Said there was no circumstances under which he would ever put him on the pitch. But it was not even just specific to Joe Hart. It really opened my eyes to a lot of how I think about football, because he was specific about the ups and downs. So Stuart Pearce and Tim Flowers desperately wanted him at Man City. Did everything, moved heaven and earth to sign him from Shrewsbury at the time as a young guy. Then Mark Hughes comes in, doesn't really fancy him, so he ends up out on loan. Mark Hughes prefers Shea Given, and Joe Hart says, well, fair enough, it's Shea Given, so I need to look elsewhere. Mark Hughes goes, Roberto Mancini comes in, he doesn't want Shea Given, he wants Joe Hart. So it kind of made me think, well, do you know what, sometimes it's not all this kind of skullduggery and betraying players. Sometimes it's just managers prefer certain players, and he looks back on his career with a lot of maturity now about how, you know, it just worked out like that for me.
He's been brilliant for us, Melly, and people only bought into Joe Hart to begin with, and I'm not going to sit here and go, I told you, because it's understandable because of the names Stevens mentioned, like your Lundbergs, your Carlton Coles and all that sort of stuff. People would easily look at Joe Hart as that sort of thing, a guy who spent his career in the wilderness. So he did have work to do when he came to Celtic, but I think that reception and the singing at Hampden and all that, I think we need to go out I mean, there's not an awful lot we can do to influence it, to be perfectly honest, but you wish just more than anything that the guy goes out in an absolute high. Joe Hart deserves to go out with his hand on at least one trophy this year.
Yeah, it's been an utter class act, and I genuinely struggle to think of anybody who's spoken about Celtic the way he has. We've always spoken about it before, like Martin O'Neill's team, guys just came in and got it, but it's been a long time since we sort of had that. But this guy who's been at the very top, World Cups, Champions League, won the Premier League, and he comes to Celtic and he's not washed. Well, his career was sort of washed out, but he as a player wasn't washed out. And he's sort of had the calculator shaggers, as we say, up against him from the start. Doesn't save to his left and all that, despite him saving a penalty at his left there. And he's just come in and he's done his job. He's been brilliant for Celtic, but he's been a brilliant person for Celtic. And we sit here as Celtic fans and we sort of get caught in our own bubble, like, oh, we're a special club. But when you hear a guy like that, who's been everywhere, every competition, he has represented his country or he's represented his club, and he's just talking about Celtic and the fans and how special it is. And if somebody asks him about Celtic, he's just said, I'm not going to try and convince them. I'll just say, go and experience it. That's all I need to tell you. He was just so classy last night and the whole time he's been here. And I just want Celtic to get that trophy for him because I think he deserves it himself. As I say, very rarely in football do you get to ride off into sunset. But he was talking about how he's seen people's careers ended and he thinks it's time for him to go. And I just hope, like you, he's got the trophies at the end there. I can just picture that picture of Joe Hart walking off into the sunset, the championship title in one hand, Paddington Bear in the other, just walking off doing his thing. So hopefully he gets it, because I've really had somebody come in and speak about Celtic and reaffirm the fact that I think this is a special club. But when a guy like that is waxing lyrical about everything Celtic and talking about how his favourite thing about Celtic is Livingston away, then I'm all for it.
Listen, on that bombshell, we are going to wrap up. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/20minutetims. Only 6 games left. Join us for the rest of them and see if you want to join us for our 10th year next year. Thank you for watching and listening.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsitis.
Kayla Itzinez. I'm Kayla Itzinez, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.